This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
Hello, everyone, and welcome on. It's Betting Weekly Game Bet Match. It's a tennis betting podcast and also YouTube show with myself, Nigel Seedy, and our man over Indian Wells for the big tournament this week, the 1,000 event, the ATP Tour 1,000 event over in Indian Wells. It's Sean Calvert. Sean, we haven't spoken to you for a few days. We followed you on Instagram. We followed you on the Twitter page. The weather's not been great. How are things?
The weather's all right during the day. It's night when it's got a bit horrible, to be honest. Like yesterday, I was watching Borges choke away a first set lead against Arthur Fils, and it got dark just about when that match was taking place. And the weather here is peculiar. It can go from quite sunny, sort of 24, 25, 26 to about 10 and really windy and rainy in about half an hour. It just depends on whether the clouds kind of get past the mountain range or not. And it was last night and the night before, there was no real night session. There was maybe one or two matches played, just because it wasn't particularly rainy, but it was enough to make the courts damp, and then it would stop and then it would start again. So anyone that's had a night session ticket this week is probably feeling pretty short-changed. But in the daytime, it's fine.
Yeah, Rafael Nadal's obviously scheduled to play on the night session. He pulled out injured before the tournament. The ball was struck there. Yeah. Hotel looks all right. It's owned by a famous movie star, isn't it?
I think, I'm not 100% sure, but I think it was owned by the I Love Lucy actress. The whole place, I mean, I would never have chosen this hotel. It's not my sort of place at all. It's like, it's really old, really old fashioned. It's very kind of 60s movie vibe, like lots of black and white photos everywhere of like old movie stars and all this sort of stuff. And it's, the entertainment is very, it's
very right. Interesting. The video you sent the other day, the woman was singing Chaka Khan. It was all right.
I can't be doing with that. I absolutely hate that sort of stuff. I hate singing. I'm not a fan of singing. There's no need for it. I like, you know, live rock music, you go into a Depeche Mode gig or whatever. Oh yeah, great. But people singing, I'm not
what
down
do you mean
with that.
Like people singing, like Elton John. You wouldn't like,
no.
Sort of like Lionel Richie or like,
no.
Whitney Houston.
No,
one of the greatest singers of all time.
Absolutely hate all that
Elvis
stuff.
Elvis Presley.
No,
you don't like it.
Not really. No.
So when you go to a rock concert, they're singing.
Yeah, they are, but it's not. It's a very different kind of singing, isn't it? This is I call this crooning. This is more of a crooning. She's coming. I don't know whether you can tell in the video, but she was wandering around the tables and sort of sitting next to the people and sort of asking them questions. I was like, if she comes over to me next, there's going to be a problem. It's not my sort of, I knew it was going to be like this. You know, this is what I expected, but this is the only hotel that's kind of within a 30-minute walk of the grounds. That's not about, you know, 10 grand a night or something. So I knew what I was letting myself in for, but it's not my scene. But look, people love it. Everyone's like, they were dancing and all this sort of stuff. I was just sitting there trying to watch the tennis scores.
Did she end with Sweet Caroline?
I can't remember the song she was singing, to be honest, but I'm not really listening. It's not my vibe.
She was singing Chaka Khan, Ain't Nobody. That's a classic.
I don't like all that stuff. It's crooning. I'm not down for that.
Anything else?
I mean,
last night
there was only about three people there. It was really empty last night. I felt quite sorry for the singer because there was nobody there.
She doesn't mind. She gets paid the same amount of money.
It's a bit off-putting, isn't it? If there's no one there,
can you imagine how depressing it must be being a singer and three people in the crowd and one of them's you looking at the tennis court?
I wasn't in the crowd. I was just walking past. I wasn't in the crowd last night. It wasn't that much. Anything else annoyed me?
Anything else got your nerves?
Not in the hotel.
What's happening? What's happening at the tennis? What's annoyed you at the tennis?
It's too many people. It's too busy now. Like last night when I was, it's all right during the day, like at sort of 11, 12, 1, 2, even up to about 3. It's all right. But after about lunchtime, you can't get any internet because there's too many people. You've got no chance. I had to try and post a video from there yesterday. It took me about half an hour, 45 minutes to get enough internet to kind of get it through. And the feast match last night, it was horrible. It was like this. You're kind of so close to the person next to you, you know, which I don't like. And I like it even less when they don't know what they're watching. The guy on the one side was going, who is this guy? Is he Peruvian or, you know, Colombian? I was about to say, look, no, he's from Portugal, but I thought I can't be bothered. And it's just, it's too, I like a bit of space. I like having space and just sitting there in this. I can't be doing with this.
You're there the weekend. You look like today. God, no. Saturday's going to be terrible.
No, I'm not. Definitely not. I went Saturday last year. There's absolutely no way I'm going there again. This is my last day today there.
Right,
the Fridays. And you cannot pay me enough to go on a Saturday and Sunday in Indian Wells now. It's way, way, way too busy.
Well, any more moaning, any more coverage from the trip with Sean will be available on our Instagram account at Because We Win and also on Twitter.
It's hard to get it done in 30 seconds, isn't it? 90 seconds. I can't get enough moaning in 90 seconds, unfortunately.
Well, I'm sure if anyone can, you can, Sean. You'll be all right. If there's one man up for the job to get 90 seconds of moaning,
you'll
be my man. So there's Sean's travels. You're about to run on a bus.
Been on that yet.
No,
I may not be on that this time. It depends on timings. I don't need it because I'm 30 minutes walk from the stadium. Last time I was in Palm Springs, which is, you know, quite a way away, so I had to get the bus. But no $1 bus yet. I've seen it going past, but I've not been on it yet.
Okay, so look forward to that. The $1 bus coming. Obviously, this is a different time because the tournament started on a Wednesday. We've got three podcasts this week and next week. And this week, we're going to be doing one today, which is Friday, and one tomorrow on Saturday. So for today, we're looking at Saturday's matches in Indian Wells. And tomorrow, we'll be looking at Sunday's matches. So let's look at Saturday's matches. We've got a couple of second round matches, four matches you've highlighted. It's a tricky card, isn't it, Sean, before we go on to the game? It's a very tricky card.
It is. We should probably talk about the conditions as well.
Yeah, I was going to say it must be very hard to gauge the conditions, really, because you haven't seen much setting the temperature changing, court condition changing all the time.
It's very. This is a tough tournament to bet in, to be honest. I'm not going to have that many bets here because for a start, the matches we're about to talk about, we don't know when they're taking place. It could be night session, evening, you know, we don't know. And the conditions here can change so quickly from quite calm. I'm just looking out the window now. There's not much breeze about, but it can pick up very quickly. And, you know, even during a match, conditions change. The one I watched, Rusevorian Lajovic, the other day, not when they resumed, but when they started, it was so windy. It was things blowing onto the court. The ball was flying all over the place. It was virtually impossible to play. So there's that. And there's also some people are saying that they think it's, Andy Murray said he thinks it's quicker, much quicker here this year. I'm not seeing that myself, to be honest. A lot of people are also saying the balls are fluffing up really quickly. I think Andy Roddick was one, and Stan Wawrinka, they've both been on showing pictures of the pen balls that they use here, fluffing up really quick, like after one game, which obviously makes it slower. But Murray thinks it's quicker. But the stats I'm seeing, particularly, well, from qualies, there was, if you compare this year's qualies to last year's qualies, it's actually quite a lot slower. So I'm not too sure what's going on with Andy Murray there. He seems to think it's quicker. He's played on it, so he should know, but I'm not seeing it myself.
Yeah, he did play probably at the best time though, didn't he? The weather was bright, sunshine, quick. It was probably quicker for the conditions there. But you know, I mean, this is a tournament we haven't really got much to gauge because the weather's changing so time. But more consistency, probably tomorrow we'll probably know a little bit more when we look at the full day's play today. The weather looks fair today. And look fair for the remaining of the tournament. Probably know a little bit more about the conditions probably tomorrow. But let's have a look at these matches. And as Sean says, they're very, very difficult to have a particular strong opinion because we do not know the order of play yet. The times will be around about 2 p.m. Eastern time, the start time. And they obviously go through to the evening as well. So we don't know the order of play yet. Head to the BetRivers website and you'll see all the order of play later on this evening and tomorrow. So when we're talking about these matches, bear that in mind and the changing conditions as the day progresses. So the first match we're going to talk about is Roman Safelin, number 42 seed, up 42 player in the world up against Sebastian Korda. I think he's number 28 seed for this tournament. Korda obviously pulled out injured against Rublev in Dubai in the quarterfinals. But prior to that, against Botic van der Sandre, a match where I was at, Korda was exceptional, probably one of the best performances he's done all year. but here's an injury concern. Saffolin comes into this game with a win over Dan Evans, but Dan Evans had a complete meltdown. But prior to that, he was on
injured
a real,
as well.
Yeah, he was on a bad losing run, wasn't he? He lost to Rune, Grixbor, Rune again, Evans again, and Tsitsipas on the running. So he lost five consecutive matches before that win against Evans in three sets. The betting for the match is what we're talking about here. Saffolin is +132. Sebastian Korda is -165. The spread is 2.5. Saffolin receiving 2.5, -127. And the total is 22.5 in this match. 28 different markets available with BetRivers. They have met once before on the clay in Italy at Rome Masters. And Saffolin won fairly easy, 6-2, 7-6. Korda, the enigma that is Sebastian Korda. We have no idea what sort Korda is going to turn up. He can be absolutely look like a future world number one or can play a load of old dross. And that is the problem we have in this match. When you gave the matches, I was really surprised you gave this one because I would have no idea how to call this match. But I'm intrigued to see where you're heading towards.
Yeah, I've picked four matches here that I think are the most likely for potential underdog winners or the underdogs to perhaps go pretty well, maybe get close. I should just point out, by the way, there's a pretty strong trend in round two of Indian Wells, probably perhaps worth bearing in mind for bettors. Under 2.5 sets in round two, 71% of the matches in the last 10 editions of Indian Wells round two have been under 2.5 sets. So there's an awful lot of straight sets wins in this particular round. Very strong trend that's been going on for many, many years. Not sure why. There just is.
That seems odd, doesn't it? It's an odd thing.
It's always been the case. I don't know why. It's whether the favourites are just winning easily or I don't know. It's just an extremely strong trend that's been going on for many, many years. So maybe if you're thinking of backing a favourite and you add a bit of juice to your price of BetRivers, go for the 2-0. It's certainly served you well over the last decade. This one, Saffolin, this is just a matchup thing for me. I just wonder if Saffolin's style of play might be really effective against someone like Korda. Saffolin hits with plenty of power. I watched him yesterday against Dan Evans. Evans was injured. He had shoulder problem. Then he spent the last set and a half clutching his lower back. And then he was leaning over in between points, a bit like Monfils does a lot of the times. So he clearly wasn't fit, Evans. He still made a reasonable fist, but by the end, he'd completely gone. He was hardly moving. But Saffolin, I think the way that he plays, I think it can unsettle Korda. Korda can be, he likes a bit more time on the ball to sort of stroke it around. He doesn't like being pressed and rushed. And if you look at his record against Rublev, he's lost all 9 sets that he's played, has Sebastian Korda against Rublev. I think he likes a bit of time on the, bit more time on the ball. And if Saffolin plays his best stuff, similar sort of style to Rublev, the power that he's got off both wings, I think you can rush him. Korda also comes into this match, as you said, under an injury cloud. I think it was abdominal issue this time for Korda against Rublev. We'll have to see how fit he is. You know, is he fit? Well, we don't know. He's also only played 4 matches at Indian Wells and lost 3 of them, as Sebastian Korda. I would like it to be quicker than this, ideally, for Saffolin. But he, as you said, he beat Korda on the clay in their only career meeting in Rome as a slight underdog. So it's just a matchup thing. I just kind of have a slight inkling that Saffolin might be a tough matchup for Korda. So my lean here would be Saffolin.
Saffolin is +132 to win his second match against Korda on the career stats. Next match is an All-American affair. It's Tommy Paul up against Alex Mickelson. And we've mentioned Mickelson many times in the show, someone we believe may have a big future in the game. He's only 19 years of age and he's from California. And he's up against Paul, who's coming in. He had a brilliant run, Tommy Paul, didn't he? He won the tournament in Dallas in America. He's got a good record in America. Then he went to Delray Beach, where he made the semifinals. But since then, he got beat by Fritz in the final in Delray Beach and got beat in the first round in Acapulco by Jack Draper. They've met once before in 2024, this year actually, at Delray Beach in the sixth round of 16. And Tommy Paul won, but in a very close match, 5-7, 6-4, 7-6. Mickelson pushed him all the way. If you go to Bet Rivers and look at his price, you'll find Tommy Paul is a very heavy favourite, -195. Alex Mickelson is +155. And the spread here is 3.5, with Tommy Paul giving up the 3.5 at +110. The total is 22.5, the same as Korda Saffolin with over -103. Looking at this match, I quite like the over 22.5 here. And there's 29 different markets available, Bet Rivers, on this match. And you can watch live and bet live with Bet Rivers. Watch the match from the comfort of your own home if you have a wager on the match. I think you're going to go with Mickelson here, and I quite like that.
I'm going to go with what you just said, which is over games. That's what I've written down here. I think this will be a tough one, a tough opening match for Tommy Paul. As you say, it's a rematch of the Delray Beach clash a month or so ago, which Tommy Paul, he had to work really, really hard to win that match. Afterwards, he said, it was hard to break his serve and hard to play him backhand to backhand. So it's not a matchup that he particularly enjoyed. He got it done in the end, but I think a lot of the reason that he did get it done was he got a lot more from his first serve that day. He hit 15 aces, did Tommy Paul, and he won 80% of his first serve points. Mickelson, a couple of aces, and only 70% first serve points won. But first serves generally don't get you that far, that don't get you all the way at Indian Wells. For example, Tommy Paul averages only 71% first serve points won here at Indian Wells. So the serve isn't probably, depending on what time this match is on, the serve probably won't be, I imagine this would be a night match, given who it is. So I can't imagine Paul's first serve advantage is going to be that big. If we look at the 2024 stats at main level, both these guys, Tommy Paul, service points won, over 10 points won, total 105, and a service hold and break total of 108. Mickelson's got the same service hold and break total, 108. And his service points won, over 10 points won, total slightly down at 102, but, you know, not massively so. Mickelson's had that match to warm up. Very impressive. I was impressed that he got it done so well against Munar. Munar could have broken him early on, actually, but didn't. But to dismiss Munar, who's an absolute pest on a slow court, is impressive. So I'm not sure I see Tommy Paul winning this in straight sets. I know I've talked about the trend, but I think this would be absolutely delighted to walk off here with a 2-0 win. I think overs is perhaps the way to go there if you're having a bet in that match.
Yeah, 22.5 is the over line here. And I agree with Sean there. It was my first impression there. I think the first set tiebreak is of interest as well. All the props are available with Bet Rivers. And remember, Bet Rivers are offering a special offer during the Sunshine Double. Bet Rivers is offering a tennis net gains parlay prop boost. Each day you can receive a profit boost of 25% or more for a tennis parlay of three legs or more. See the Bet Rivers app for full details. So a 25% boost on your parlays. As Sean said, the favourites have done pretty well here in Indian Wells in round two. So you might want to put a couple of favourites in there for a parlay to boost that up by up to 25% with Bet Rivers.
A few 2-0s.
Yeah. Let's have a look at the next match. This is an interesting one for me. Mannarino against Mahak. Mannarino and Mahak have never met before. Mahak is obviously a Czech player on the up in the world rankings. He's currently up to 63 in the world. Adrian Mannarino is as steady as they come, a very steady Eddie tennis player. If you look at the betting on this match, it's Mannarino who is the favourite with Bet Rivers. Thomas Mahak is the favourite. Bet Rivers is minus 205. I was quite shocked by that. I thought when I looked at the odds, I was expecting to see a little bit closer.
He's too short.
Yeah.
He's way too short.
Plus minus 205, Thomas Mahak. I believe that. Plus 160 Mannarino. The spread is 2.5, plus 102 for Mannarino. I'll be betting that, plus 2.5 start. And the total again here is 22.5 with over, minus 105, minus 122. I didn't have the graphic that John, I didn't print the graph. I didn't have much time today, so I took my mother out for lunch because I'm not seeing a Sunday for Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to any mothers watching this. But I didn't print the graphic out.
Yeah, my mum's birthday tomorrow as well, by the way.
Oh, happy birthday,
my
Mrs.
mum's
Kelly.
Birthday and Mother's Day, yeah.
Didn't print that out, and I automatically presumed that Mannarino would be maybe a marginal favourite, and I've gone over there and seen it plus 160. I'm pretty shocked by that, to be fair, but what's the reason? I know he's lost the last three matches, but, I mean, he won a tournament already. Like, you know, he's playing well. Semi-finals in Dallas. Got beaten in the first round by Dubai. Yeah. Got beat in the first round in Delray Beach, but he's in good form.
Yeah, I thought this would be a pick'em, or maybe Mashak's slight favourite on the base that he's played one match here already, and his service points won and return points won total over the last 12 months is better than Mannarino's on outdoor hard, but he hasn't played that many matches. This for me is a matchup thing and a sort of suitability to the conditions. I'm not convinced this is going to be ideal for Mahak. For me, he's most effective on a quick, low bouncing surface, as is Adrian Mannarino, incidentally. I don't think conditions are ideal for Manor either, but particularly, I feel like Manor is the one that can adapt his game more. He's got more layers to his game than Mahak for me. Mack played well against Stan Wawrinka, but not fabulous. I watched some of that match, and Wawrinka ran out of energy in the third set. I think that's the only difference really between them. He just didn't have the legs in that final set. But this is a very different kind of opponent. You know, Mannarino is awkward. A lot of players, they don't like playing him. Mack, for me, is not proven yet against left-handers at this level either. He's only played two matches in his career at main level against left-handers. One was against Cam Norrie at Wimbledon, I think it was last year. And Norrie won reasonably comfortably, even though Norrie wasn't in good form then. The other one was against Juan Manuel Cerundolo that he did win, and you would expect him to win that on a hard court. So only two matches against lefties at main level. And he's only 6-6 win-loss at all levels in the last 12 months against all left-handers. That includes challengers. So question mark against lefties. If you look at Mahak's record against top 25 ranked opposition, which Mannarino is now, I think he's about 21 or so in the world, isn't he, at the minute, Manor? Mm-hmm. Mashak is 2-13 win-loss in his career against top 25 ranked opponents. So I'm not seeing where this price is coming from. I mean, as I said, Mannarino he's not ideally suited to Indian Wells, a bit high bouncing, a bit slow for him. He's not keen, but he's still done okay. 10-10 win loss and a service points one and return points, one total of 100, despite conditions not suiting him. Now, if we look at the last 12 months at main level away from on all surfaces, away from clay, not including clay, Mannarino, 64% win rate. Mahak, 53% win rate. Mannarino's service points won and return points won total is 101. Mahak is slightly ahead on 103. I think that's potentially why he's favourite. But the only difference in those totals is that Mahak wins 3% more points on his first serve. And that shouldn't really be key at Indian Wells. I'm not convinced that Mahak's going to like Manor's unusual style. You know, he likes a bit of rhythm. Mahak, he's not going to get that from Mannarino. So he's all told, he's just too short for me, Mahak. So I'm taking Mannarino.
Yeah, I think that's I was staggered when I saw the price plus 160. I think that should be a lot closer than that in the betting.
Plus 138, Mannarino.
Plus 160. Plus 160.
160.
Yeah, plus 160.
It was 138 when I looked earlier. That's
plus
that's
160
even better,
minus 205. So my two to one on Thomas Mahak.
Yeah, that's no good.
No, plus 160. I'm absolutely shocked that you can get that kind of price on Mannarino.
He might win it, Mahak, but that's a terrible price. Yeah, it's not really not good.
Exactly. So that's a little bit of value there. So any of these official picks?
I'll take him at the price. Now that you've even said it's gone up to plus 160, I'm happy to take Mannarino there. Yeah.
Mannarino plus 160. I quite like the plus 2.5 for Mannarino at plus 102 as well. Remember, there's 29 different markets available on BetRivers on this match, and there's some great ways to get with Mannarino. I also think that this Mahak price there's certain players that people talk up a little bit, and there's a lot of talk around these Czech players at the moment, like the Leheka, Mahak, and Mensik. A lot of talk about them. They haven't really done much yet that convinces me that they're all the hype behind these Czech players at the moment. And I think they're like a trendy kind of pick. Mahak is one of the players that you want to follow in, Mensik to follow. And you're getting really artificially low odds on them because there is this sort of built up, sort of everybody wants to be on them because they think they're going to win a price. But I think that's crazy.
Yeah, he won 53%, just over half of his main level matches in the last 12 months away from clay. I didn't include clay for obvious reasons, but if he's only winning 53% at this level, he's 1-2. Imagine if you backed him at 1-2 every time.
Yeah. Well, you'd be doing the money.
Out of pocket. He might win this match, but that's just a bad price.
I think there could possibly be something into the Mannarino. Obviously, you know, there may be something in it that the line is moving up that because it just looks so glaringly wrong for me when I looked at it. Well, I've got a rough idea in my head. I think, oh, that's price is going to be that. When I looked at that, I thought, so I'm,
maybe
I'm,
he's got
I'm
an
doubting
injury
maybe
there's
an injury. That's maybe what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Well, we don't know, do we? But I'm at those odds, I'm happy to take a chance. Yeah.
Okay. The final match we're going to speak about is the Brit Cam Norrie, a former winner here. One of his biggest ever win was here a couple of years back now. He's up against Lorenzo Sonego, the sort of journeyman Italian who's always there about, you know, you can always give anyone a good game, Sonego. He's up against Cam Norrie. Cam Norrie is minus 148. Lorenzo Sonego is plus 120. The spread here is 1.5, minus 109 for Cam Norrie, minus 117 for Sonego. And the total was a little bit higher than the other two matches. And this one is 23.5 with over plus 102 and under minus 130. They've met once before in Monte Carlo in 2019, and it was the Italian Sonego who won, again, fairly comfortably, 6-2 in the set one, and then he won the second set, 7-5. Cam Norrie is just a player that I can't read. I can never read Cam Norrie. If I oppose him, he wins well.
I can't read Sonego.
Cam Norrie is one of the, he probably cost me as many, much more, almost as much money as Corda over the years. I just can't get him right. And Sonego, again, capable of beating anybody when he has a day, but doesn't have many days.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, I find Sonego very hard to call, but I can't have Cam Norrie at this price. He's actually drifted, I think, since I wrote this as Cam Norrie. He was about 1.6-ish. When I looked at this, I'm not sure what he is now. I think he's more like 1.7 or something like that.
He's minus 150, which is 1.66.
Okay, yeah, it's you're taking a chance. If you're back in Norrie, odds on, you are taking a chance here. I know he's got a good record. He's won 78% of his matches at Indian Wells, but his title did come when it was played in much, much cooler conditions in 2021 when it was played in October because of COVID. They moved it back. I think it averaged 74% holds of serve that year. So it was really slow, which suits Norrie. I mean, the conditions do suit him in general, but yeah, is he fit? Last time we saw him, he was in all sorts of physical bother, wasn't he, in Rio? Hasn't played since. I mean, we can probably assume that he's all right now, but you know, there's no guarantee. Sonego hadn't even won a set in his three matches at Indian Wells until yesterday, I think it was, when he beat Kecmanovic. So he hadn't found this place an enjoyable one, but he played really well against Kecmanovic. I think he won 95% of his first serve points against Kecmanovic yesterday. If he serves like that against Norrie, it'll certainly make this interesting. The thing that's brought me to Sonego here is that he's got a much better record at main level against left-handers than he does against right-handers, which always, and I knew this before, but it always surprises me because I never have him down as a player that's got particularly great backhand, but his win rate is 60% at main level against left-handers and only 48% against right-handers. So he's far better against lefties such as Norrie. So, and if we look at his service points won and return points won total, it's 102 against left-handers and 100 against all opponents combined. So he's clearly better against lefties than he is against righties. He's got that match under his belt already in these conditions, won 95%, as I said, in his first ball. So I think this could be a struggle for Norrie. I can sort of see why it's a 23.5 line. The layers are expecting this one probably to go to a three sets, I should think. For me, the bet here, if you're having a go on this one, I'd probably take Sonego to win the first set now that he's obviously got the conditions. And Norrie is obviously going to be rusty. He's not played in a hard court for some time, not played at all since Rio. So probably take Sonego to win the opening set or just to win the match.
Sonego to win the match is currently plus 120. I'm just trying to find you the price for him to win.
He was plus 106 to win the first set when I looked earlier.
Yep, still plus 106. Sonego to win set one. If you want to take him to win set two, it's plus 107. Never understand that. I think, why should the...
I'm not sure what that's
why,
about.
Why would you be this, why you be the same price? But anyway, set one plus 106, set two plus 107. Someone's there thinking, well, he's a 0.1% chance.
Slight value to win the second set.
But yeah.
I don't think I've ever bet second set in my life, but unless it's a player who's fatigued and I think they're really going to fade in the second set, and then I might do something, but very rare I would bet on that. Bit weird.
Remember, there is a whole host of tennis action across here on the women's side as well. I mean, it's some brilliant women's matches tomorrow. Check out the Bet Rivers website on those as well for Saturday's order of play. Also in action tomorrow, we have Khachanov against Seth Babois. Alcaraz is in action against Arnaldi, a very talented Italian. Ugo Humbert, who won in Dubai, he's in action. Holger Rune up against Raonic, the big serving Canadian. And also we have Novak Djokovic making his comeback with his reappearance since he won the Australian Open. He's up against Vukic, very unbettable
favourite.
Should
win that pretty easy.
Yeah, he's a very, very heavy favourite.
I watched Vukic yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Yeah, his backhand is horrible. It's never been pleasant watching his backhand. He just steers it. You know, Djokovic against him and backhand to backhand, that should be a wipeout, really.
Yeah, he's a very heavy favourite, and head across to the Bet Rivers to see all the latest odds on that. Remember to follow Sean's adventures across in California on our Instagram page and our Twitter at Because We Win. Download the podcast, Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, and give us a subscribe on our YouTube channel, Betting Weekly Studios. Huge amount of people subscribing. Brilliant numbers for the first show of the week with myself and Sean looking at the Indian Wells outright market. So thank you very much for watching. If you have any comments, any questions, please give us a note on there. And Sean, did you meet that guy? Did you meet the guy I missed? Did you want to just...
It took a while for us to kind of get together, and about 400 messages, because he came in at the north gate, I was at the south gate, and it was just when it started raining, so it was pretty unpleasant conditions. But it's nice to meet him. Yeah, it's good.
Lovely. So if you are around, I mean, Miami in a couple of weeks, if you are around in Miami, send me a message on Twitter. And if you want to rain, I'll wake up and we'll have a beer and watch some tennis together. That's what it's all about. Hopefully we can win together. One official pick, Sean. Is it just the one? Or we're going to go for two?
Yeah, just take it out. I think it's a very tricky card, the ones that we have got prices for. But I think Manarino is a bit of value at that price, yeah.
Manarino at +160 to beat Mahak, the very overbet Czech player. All these Czech players getting overbet at the moment. Sean, have a day. Don't get up singing. Don't get up dancing with your friends and, you know, and have a good time. You don't really like people. You don't really like singers.
I like some people, yeah.
Being around them, you know.
Nobody likes kind of sitting like that, trying to watch a tennis match. That's now I can't be doing with that now.
Oh dear. Well, anyway, hope things get better for you. Hope you see some lovely tennis and you get around the pool. When are you heading back?
We'll talk about what I'm doing tomorrow in tomorrow's show.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, wait for that. It should be interesting.
Okay, we'll speak about it tomorrow. So tomorrow we'll be back again looking at Sunday's matches in Indian Wells. Remember, there's some brilliant content, not only on the tennis as well, also on the soccer. There's a huge weekend of Premier League soccer. The biggest match of the season over here with Liverpool against Manchester City is on Sunday. And there's a bet on that and a full preview on Betting Weekly Premier League on our on our YouTube account. Have a good day, Sean. Enjoy the sun.
Thank you.
Some tennis, cash some tickets. That's what it's all about. Thanks very much for watching. We'll see you all again tomorrow.